Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are we One Hit Thunder? Who wants to know? Jimmy Ray seemed to possess all the makings of superstardom in the late 90s. A striking appearance, an unforgettable chorus that echoed his identity, and the backing of a renowned manager. He even embarked on a tour opening for one of the biggest boy bands of his time. Yet, as swiftly as he ascended, he vanished without a trace. Until a few years ago. This week, One Hit Thunder transforms into unsolved mysteries as we endeavor to unravel the enigma surrounding Jimmy Ray's disappearance.
All you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever. And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it One Hit Thunder?
Matt, did you know this song in 1997? I feel like this is a song that I've heard about, and I always hear people reference, and maybe I have a false memory of hearing it at the time, but in preparation for this episode, I was like, I don't know that I ever knew this song.
I did. Like I said, for a very large chunk of the late 90s and the early 2000s, I would say 1996 to like 99, I watched The Box religiously. Mm-hmm. And this was a very popular song on The Box, Okay. Specifically.
That seems about right.
Yeah, so like that's how I knew it. And then this was a song that I like forgot about. Like it was like by 2004, I had no memory of this song. And then it was in college, like later in college, I was DJing a party for a friend. And my friend was like, can you cue up Are You Jimmy Ray? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I remembered, like, as soon as I heard, I'm like, oh, I remember this weird-ass song and this, like, rockabilly-looking pop star.
Yeah. This guy is ridiculous. Let's just start by saying that. When I watched the music video, I'm like, what is this guy? Surprisingly, he's English.
Yeah, that was a shocker for me this morning to find out. And his manager, I mean, you don't get more English than this. His manager was Simon Fuller, who managed the Spice Girls and produced American Idol when it originally started in Britain, when I think it was just Pop Idol or something like that.
So he was going for rockabilly without playing rockabilly music. There are just the slightest elements of rockabilly, and I wouldn't have even picked up on the rockabilly influence of music in the song, minus
definitely
looking
the fashion
at him.
Yeah, the fashion. Now, I actually very recently purchased this album, I think my last visit to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
I found it at the CD warehouse in the dollar bin. Okay. And I was like, eventually we're going to do this. I should grab the album. And I actually, this was a Patreon voted episode, and it was one of my two songs that I put up there because I had just listened to the album in its entirety and was like, well, this will be fresh in my head if it wins, which thankfully it did. Otherwise, that would have been for nothing. And now I can write off that dollar on my taxes.
There you go.
But the whole album, like, here's what I'll tell you right now out the gate with this album. If you love the song Are You Jimmy Ray, you will love the self-titled Jimmy Ray album. If you don't like this song, you don't need to, like, don't listen. Like, it is, what this song is just that for 12 more tracks. Like, it doesn't have a lot of variety. It is, the other tracks, I think there is a little bit more of, like, it doesn't sound rockabilly, but you can hear that there is, like, a little bit of a 50s rock and roll influence mixed into the pop music a little bit.
Okay.
But at its core, it's just generic pop music. Like, it's just, like, it, this guy opened for Backstreet Boys. Like, it totally makes sense that that is, like, the world that he was in. His manager was the manager of the Spice Girls. Like, this is as generic, dumb pop as it gets. But also, like, when you look at the critical reaction to this, critics were kind of into this song. Like, I would have thought that they would have been like, what is this dumb bullshit? But they seem to think like, oh, this was a nice breath of fresh air. They all described it as an infectious song, which it is. You get that chorus stuck in your head and you're just like, well, that's there for a while.
It's catchy. I'm not going to deny it's catchy. It's danceable. I don't really understand what kind of music it is. Minus, it's just pop. It's just pop music. Don't even try to pretend this is anything other than that. And the lyrical, there's nothing really there beyond what his name is.
Well, there's barely verses in the song.
Yeah.
it's a chorus that he repeats. I think I count it. There's five times that the chorus is sang in the song.
Mm-hmm.
There are two verses that almost completely like mirror each other for a large chunk of it, and then there is a pre-chorus mentioned twice and a bridge, and the bridge is just everybody jump back, turn around, now let's do it again, everybody jump back, turn around, now let's do it again. Like, it's not there's no one who's gonna win awards for the songwriting of this song, but I get the idea of like, hey man, a catchy song is a kid, and we've covered those pop sensations that are just catchy songs. It doesn't matter what the words are. They just came up with a great hook, and that was all they needed. And I would say this falls in that category. I do think that this is a good hook. Like, the chorus that he wrote is catchy. It's going to be stuck in your head. I know that anytime someone asks me a question for the next couple days, I'm going to ask Who Wants to Know.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of a smart idea to get to really pound into people's head what your name is if you're trying to make a career. Maybe that's what he was trying to do. I thought it was funny, Matt. I Googled every single person. Now, of course, I knew who Link Ray was. We all know.
I was going to say, I knew Faye Ray and Link Ray.
You knew Faye Ray. Okay. So for anybody who doesn't know, I didn't know who Faye Ray is, but you do a horror movie podcast. So
yeah,
of course,
she was the star of King Kong. I actually know her name more from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because the opening line of, like, the big ending song, Don't Dream It, Be It, is Whatever Happened to Faye Ray. And then Science Fiction Double Feature Show, I think she also gets a shout out because that whole thing is a throwback to bad sci-fi movies of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And Faye Ray was definitely one of the earliest versions of a scream queen in the 50s.
Sure. But in order of who he asks, are you, before they ask if he's Jimmy Ray, Johnny Ray, who I was not familiar with. He was a singer, songwriter, and pianist who was very popular in the 50s. He's been cited as a precursor to what became rock and roll. Tony Bennett called him the father of rock and roll. Not that I'm saying that Tony Bennett is necessarily someone who is an authority on what is rock and roll and what isn't, but I'm just saying that apparently he said he's one of the fathers of rock and roll. His song Cry went to number one in 1951. I went and listened to it. I had never heard Cry before. He also had his next single, The Little White Cloud That Cried. All his songs about crying, I guess. That song went to number two. What I thought was interesting about Johnny Ray was he was mostly deaf, like he was almost deaf, and he was bisexual back in a time when that was very frowned upon in the 50s.
Well, yeah. And Chris, I think you're missing the most important thing about Johnny Ray, which is that the song Come On Eileen is about him.
Really?
Oh. The opening line, poor old Johnny Ray.
Didn't even know.
He sounded sad upon the radio. He moved a million hearts in mono.
Wow. Okay. Didn't even put that together. Wow. Yeah. What a tie-in for One Hit Thunder. So, so Jimmy Ray, just to make it clear, he is not Johnny Ray.
He is also not Johnny Ray.
The second name he goes to is Are You Slim Ray?
Now, so I didn't research this, but I'm assuming just based on the name and the general theme of old-timey stuff, Slim Ray to me sounds like a like 20s ragtime piano player to me. Am I close?
I'm telling you right now, I Googled and I went through pages and pages of Googling. And I'll tell you right now, the only Slim Ray out there is an internationally recognized authority on flood, swift water, and whitewater safety and rescue with 30 years of experience. That is the only Slim Ray I can find. So,
wow.
Search as you will. I think it's, if this is what Johnny Ray is referencing, this Slim Ray, I think that's actually amazing, but I could not find anything else.
So here's the closest thing I could come up with just on a very quick Wikipedia search. Because when you type in Slim Ray on Wikipedia, it brings up a place called The Dump Saloon. And it said, The Dump was a popular saloon slash dive bar in New York from 1890 to 1910, owned by Slim Ray Reynolds. Wow. It was one of the several establishments frequented by the underworld, especially the brewery bums. So
it's either a bar owner or a guy who's an expert on whitewater safety. one of the two. And then, are you Faye Ray? We went over Faye Ray. She's an early scream queen. Are you Sting Ray? Now, I'm telling you,
is
man.
Is that a reference to the car?
Or like, the fish? It's either the car or the fish. So are you a fish or are you a car? And Link Ray, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a very famous guitarist, songwriter, and vocalist who became popular in the late 50s. You probably definitely know his 1958 song Rumble, which reached the top 20 in the U.S. It was used in Pulp Fiction. It's an all-instrumental song that goes dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. It's basically him and Dick Dale.
Right.
Were like the early versions of that rockabilly mixed with surf guitar vibe of like most of their songs are primarily guitar with like a light bass and drum behind it, but lots of like, I feel like Link Ray is kind of one of the infamous dudes for using effects pedals very early in rock and roll.
Yep. I think he was one of the first people to use distortion and tremolo and all these things that, you know, became standard years later. But yeah, he was definitely a pioneer of the sound.
And I kind of dig that set. Like when I hear songs like Rumble, like in my mind, like you said, it obviously you think it's stuff like Pulp Fiction because it shows up and stuff like that. But obviously when you hear Dick Dale or you hear Link Ray, I also weirdly just feel like it's the middle of summer and you're walking around like a water park.
Yeah. Well, like, I was going to say something.
It's the music of a water park. But
you think of a water park, I think more of like you're at a beach and the sun is setting and there's a bodacious babe standing on the beach, pushing her hair back.
Silhouetted.
Yeah.
So you're thinking of like Replace the Cars Moving in Stereo from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when when Phoebe comes out of the water and just put Link Ray's rumble and it'll be exactly the same for you.
Sure. That's the soundtrack to a woman coming out of the water. That's this style of music. And there's nothing wrong with that style of music. This is not the kind of style of music that Jimmy Ray is. So let's not get him confused. Who wants to know? Apparently, we all do.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
This is truly, truly a one-hit wonder. Now,
oh boy, is it.
This is like the definition of a one-hit wonder. He released a couple more singles. I listened to I Got Rolled, and I was like, this is all right.
What's crazy to me, though, Chris, and I'm not sure if you stumbled upon this, but this was bizarre to me, is he's from England. Mm-hmm. And the song Are You Jimmy Ray was a hit in both the UK and the United States. But that the album, the self-titled Jimmy Ray album, only was released in the United States.
Oh.
Like, there wasn't a UK release in his home country for this song. But then, yeah, he had a couple other singles that were not big. Going to Vegas couldn't even enter the top 40 in the UK. And then this dude just vanishes for like almost two straight decades. And then he finally puts out his sophomore album in 2017. Now, the first album came out in 1998.
Right.
So almost two full decades later. And I'm not sure if you saw this, but the comeback album has a re-recorded version of Are You Jimmy Ray with a song title changed to Who Wants to Know?
Right. And it's like more of like a rock version of it. It's not a pop version of it. I listened to it. I mean, I got one thing I will say.
Which would you prefer? Would you say, do you prefer to listen to Are You Jimmy Ray or do you prefer to listen to Who Wants to Know?
Oh, I don't know. I guess the original, the pop version. I mean, I'm not trying to pretend I don't like pop music. Don't get me wrong
you're
here.
You're probably a bigger pop guy than me, ultimately. You follow modern pop music a lot tighter than I do, for the most part.
I just can't help shake the impression that I get when I watch the video and I'm like, what is this guy? You know, like, well, what are you doing?
There's something. So the first line of his Wikipedia was very interesting to me because it said in press interviews, he cites Elvis and, you know, all these Eddie Cochran, all these like 50s rockabilly stars as his influences. But I feel like it's important that it starts with in press interviews because his origins was that he was one half of a techno pop group called Alternative Vision. And then the Jimmy Ray thing happened after that group broke up. Which makes me wonder, especially like you said, like none of this sounds that rockabilly. If this was just like, are we looking at this? Maybe this was to the truest extent, right? We're talking about his manager is Simon Fuller, who's managing the Spice Girls. And all of the Spice Girls, while they are all talented musicians, they were playing characters, right? Yeah. They were playing the character of Scary Spice and Baby Spice and Posh Spice. And very much like wrestling in the 80s, they kind of had to live that character out in the wild. I'm wondering if he just said, like, you're going to be the 50s throwback pop star.
Right.
And just kind of like molded him into this very inauthentic shape. And I mean, it's even in pop music, there has to be like a tiny dash of sincerity. Like, I think the girls, the Spice Girls, survived because at their core, the whole thing was like girl power. And for better or for worse, when you look at them, you're like, these do seem like five really good friends that care about women empowerment. So like, you can put aside that they're playing these goofy over the top characters and at least buy into like the message of their music. There's no message in Are You Jimmy Ray to buy into except that his name is Jimmy Ray.
Yeah, that's really funny. And it totally makes sense. We don't have confirmation of this, but if you look at the guy, he's tall, he's thin, he's handsome, he has the pompadour haircut. It makes sense. It's like, yeah, you're going to be the rockabilly pop guy of the moment. And it worked to a certain extent. I believe the album did go gold in the United States. I think it went gold. Yeah.
I mean, look, the song peaked at 13, which is like, hey, that's not bad at all. In between Next is Too Close, which, you know, the ultimate song about popping a boner while slow dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And the song that was above it, I don't think I know this song. Deja Vu Uptown Baby by Lord Tariq and Peter Guns with a Z.
I don't remember that one.
With this, but we got a pretty stacked top five when this song peaked.
Yeah.
Chris, March 14th, 1998, we got number five, Savage Garden, Madly Truly Deeply. Always love this song. Good ass song. Number four, Destiny Child's No No No.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Usher's Nice and Slow. And this is just a very noteworthy thing. At number two, finally dropping from the number one slot for months, Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. And what masterpiece of a song finally took down the theme from Titanic,
Will Smith's getting jiggy
with it.
We were ready to get jiggy with it. People were tired of being sad, ready to get jiggy with it in 1998. Yes, I looked through those charts too. Some of the other noteworthy songs on the charts at this time, March 14th, 1998, we're Together Again from Janet Jackson. Of course, you know I love that. Gone Till November from Wyclef at this time.
Love that one.
How Do I Live from Leanne Rimes. I saw, this so reminds me of 1998 because I wasn't really a fan of the band or the song, but I couldn't help having the song resonate with me because I was really at an age where like getting your heart broken was a regular thing and whatever, but How's It Gonna Be from Third Eye Blind was popular at this time.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Kiss the Rain was popular at this time. Make 'em Say from Master P was popular at this time. So, yeah.
So, you know what though? Here's something that I will say. When we go down all of these songs that are noteworthy songs in the charts, if I had to compare Are You Jimmy Ray to any of the songs that we named, it actually would probably go closest with the Will Smith Getting Jiggy With.
Yeah.
Like as far as just like, you know, similar to how you're just like getting jiggy with it. Na, 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 na. You're like, Are You Jimmy Ray? Who wants to know?
Yeah. dancey fluff that,
yeah.
You know, you could put those songs on back to back. I mean, I don't think whoever produced this and had this idea and put it together, they weren't far off. I think that just you needed a little more substance in from what I heard from his songs, because there was also the other single was like something about Las Vegas.
Yeah, Going to Vegas, yeah, was the song that his second single.
Yeah.
Let's take it because there's so few. Let's look at the other words in this song. So the first verse is, hey, can you tell when you look in my eye, you don't mess around with me, lest you feeling dangerous. Are you in my scene? Lay it on the line. You can come and take a walk with me if you're feeling dangerous. So basically just rhyme dangerous with dangerous in that verse.
Yeah.
And nothing else. there's no one who's looking in Jimmy Ray's eye and feeling like they're in trouble.
No.
But then we get the pre-chorus that says, because I'm meaner, I'm leaner, I ain't no in-betweener. With a reaper, I'm a dreamer. Good God, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that means.
I mean, he's definitely lean. I'll tell you that. He is a lean man. And if you haven't seen the music video, it's... I can almost appreciate the over-the-top whatever he's doing there. It's a bunch of women doing hopscotch in the video. It's like, yeah, him dressed like a rockabilly guy, a bunch of women doing hopscotch. It's confounding.
It feels, if this song was campier, it almost would feel like an early John Waters thing. Like, it's like in a trailer park. It's so 1950s. And then we get this second verse, which is so close to the first verse, is maybe we can shake it down by the water. Do you think I'm taking liberties? Are you dangerous? I gotta let it out. It's something in my genes. You can come and take a walk with me if you're feeling dangerous.
This guy. I don't know. I don't know,
This song is about how he doesn't want anyone to know who he is. Because he's big and tough, and he's going to fight you, Chris.
What's going on?
I have no clue what's going on, Chris.
I mean, he's saying, who wants to know? Which, when someone asked, like someone said, are you Matt Kelly? And you say, who wants to know? That's kind of like a gangster thing to say, right? Isn't that like a Robert De Niro quote or something? Like, that's from something.
I was going to say, I could see that being in, like, The Sopranos or Goodfellas or Casino or any of those things around him.
Who wants to know? You know, It's like a badass thing to say.
It doesn't come off as badass coming out of Jimmy Ray, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the only thing I'll say is maybe Jimmy Ray was in on it, knew what he was doing, and then bowed out. Because there isn't really a lot. I mean, he did have his comeback album in, 2017?
That's what I mean. He just, vanished. Right. It was so... it makes me wonder if he was just like, I'm not really into doing this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't find much. His Wikipedia doesn't have much. I know the Wikipedia isn't the end all be all of finding information on people.
But it's usually a good starting point. And if you click into it and there's two paragraphs about the person, you know that you're up for a lot of trouble in your research world.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of not knowing a lot about Jimmy Ray, Matt, you want to play a game?
I was hoping you would ask.
This game is about the time where Jimmy Ray was at his peak. And that would be...
Okay, so 1998. More
specifically, March of 1998.
Okay, March of 1998. Let me take myself back.
Okay.
All right, I'm in sixth, maybe seventh grade.
Okay.
All right, I'm just... Okay, I'm washing over all of the things that I remember from middle school before we do this trivia.
It's about to be springtime. It's like early springtime of 1998.
Yeah, I'm getting excited for the summer. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, I feel like you might be able to do really well on this. Like, you might be able to get every answer right. There's a chance.
How many questions?
2, 3, 4. There is six. Six questions. Right. Only one of them you get a multiple choice. The rest?
I'm going to go 4 out of 6. I think I can pull off at least 4 out of 6.
Okay. So this is Jimmy Ray's peak trivia, but none of them actually have anything to do with Jimmy Ray.
Well, there's nothing to be found about Jimmy Ray. Yeah. He won't tell us who he is.
We already told you everything there is to know about Jimmy Ray. On March 5th of 1998, Mariah Carey divorced this music mogul after 2 years of marriage.
Did she? I know she dated him for a while. I can't remember if she married him, but I'm going to go with Sean Puffy Combs.
That is incorrect. And I've never heard that they dated.
Or maybe it's just that they collaborate. I know he was very, he helped out on the songs Honey and stuff from 97 and 98. No. But who was it?
It would be Tommy Mottola.
I would have 1,000 guesses. I wouldn't have pulled that name out. So okay,
their marriage was a big thing in the 90s. All right, I thought you'd get that one.
I was in sixth grade. I didn't care who was marrying who.
You didn't care about music industry executives. Okay.
Yeah.
On March 9th of 1998, Dr. Dre's Aftermath Entertainment signs this rapper.
I mean, my first instinct is to go Eminem, but I don't know why. I'm going to say Eminem, but I feel like I'm wrong. I feel like My Name Is was already out by 1998.
You are correct. It was Eminem.
Oh, okay. Because the next one would have been 50 Cent, and this feels too early for that. Yeah. So, okay. I'm glad I didn't second guess myself on that.
You got a point. Well, this one might be a more difficult one for you, but we'll see. Right. You don't get a multiple choice, but if you think hard about it, I think you might be able to get this.
Right.
On March 13th of 1998, this rapper was born in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, so 1998, they're born.
26 years old.
I just want to see. Okay, they're 26 right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're from Louisville.
26, born in Louisville. Who is a Southern rapper from?
I will tell you one more hint. At the time of recording this, he is a nowadays popular rapper.
Well, that's I figured it had to be someone who's popular right now. I'm going to go with this guess just because of what their first big hit was. Was it Lil Nas X?
That is incorrect.
Ah.
It's actually Jack Harlow.
Oh.
I don't know much about Jack Harlow, to be honest. He seems pretty mediocre.
Anytime I've heard clips, I've kind of been like, I've heard this better by everybody. All right, so I got to get the next three right or I've failed my goal of four.
But you got a chance. And actually, there's no, I don't know. I'll give you 3 points on the next one if you can get it without the multiple choice.
Okay.
But there is multiple choice this one. On March 22nd of 1998, the 18th annual Golden Raspberry Awards were held.
Okay.
Which movie won Worst Picture? So it would probably be movies from 1997, though.
Yeah, it would have been movies from 1997. The Golden Raspberries are wild, though. Because, like, sometimes it's like, okay, I understand why, like, Freddy Got Fingered or All About Steve won. But then there's times where they'll, like, go at, like, a movie that's really good. And I don't know why they hated it so much. I'll take the loss of 2 points to get the multiple choice because I'm sure I'll know it with the multiple choice.
Your choices are A, Batman and Robin, B, Speed 2 Cruise Control, C, Anaconda, or D, The Postman.
Well, the one I'm definitely taking out of contention is Anaconda. While that wasn't a popular movie, The Postman is a goddamn it. I'm also going to take Speed 2 out of the running. I feel like it's got to be between Batman and Robin and The Postman. It depends on which way they lean, right? Because sometimes if they're going for just that it's a giant, like it was literally being mocked all year for how bad it is, then it goes to Batman and Robin. But like The Postman had that like, I can't believe they spent so much money for this movie to fail element to it as well. I'm going to go with The Postman. That feels more of what the Razzies likes to bitch about.
You got it.
Okay.
The Postman cleaned up at that Razzies.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Costner won like Worst Director. It won like a lot of Razzies that year.
That's what I mean. But there is like a world where like All About Steve like swept 1 year and it was like just because the movie was so
I don't even know what that movie is.
It's a movie where Sandra Bullock is obsessed with a guy named Steve and like it's just a bad rom-com but she's I always remember that one because she won like the Academy Award for The Blind Side the same year that she won the Razzie for All About Steve. And she was one of the rare people who showed up at the Razzie Award ceremony. And she showed up with a shopping cart of DVDs of All About Steve that she gave all the attendees and accepted her award, but then asked them to rewatch the movie and give it a second thought.
Wow. That's like really funny and really awesome.
Yeah, it really endeared me. Like she's already like an endearing actress, but that really made me go like, Sandra Bullock's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and plus it's probably a lot easier to do that when you're also winning.
You're
winning for best stuff. So you got 2 points, Matt. You have a goal of 4. You have 2 questions left, and I feel like you have a shot right now because
all right.
You should be able to get these two. On March 23rd of 1998, This movie won Best Picture at the 70th Academy Awards.
Fuck. So this is another 1997. Mm-hmm. Would this have been the year that Titanic won?
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Titanic.
You got it.
Okay.
Nice. Nice. I knew you'd get that one. This last one now.
Not my favorite Best Picture winner, but whatever. All right.
All right, man. Here we go. To see if you win or not. On March 29th of 1998, this wrestler defeated Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14 to win his first WWF heavyweight title.
So, fun fact about me, I didn't watch any wrestling during like 95 to like 2015. Me watching wrestling is fairly new.
Wow.
I do watch a lot of documentaries about wrestling. I mean, fairly new in the grand scheme of my life existing, but like, I do what when I got into wrestling, I watched a lot of documentaries. 1997 would be right around the time that Stone Cold Steve Austin is popping off. I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels, but
Shawn Michaels is who got defeated.
Sorry. I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin, but that doesn't feel right to me as the person who he would have beaten for that title. But 97 was definitely when they were going all in on Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I'm going to say Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You got it.
Yeah, for some reason in my brain, it would have been Bret Hart that they would have had him beat. But
I've loved Steve Austin on Instagram lately, by the way.
So I'm not sure if you've ever heard these audio clips, and I might have to dig them up, but Stone Cold had a twice-a-week podcast called The Steve Austin Show, and I used to listen to it religiously. Then I kind of stopped listening to it. But he would do on Tuesdays was just an hour of Stone Cold by himself talking into a microphone. And then like the Thursday show was him interviewing a wrestler. I could care less about the interviews, but those like hour long him just bitching about stuff episodes. The one clip that I always quote is he's talking about how he was working out and but he wasn't like he still wasn't happy with how he looked. And he's like, and then my wife sends me a link to where I can get Spanx on discount. And I thought, Spanx? You expect me, the Texas rattlesnake, to walk around the gym in some goddamn Spanx?
I just love, I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he has a ranch, the Broken Skull Ranch, and he's always shoveling shit and talking about how he has to shovel shit. And I love, and people have really caught on, he gives updates of his cat, Poncho, who's this really cute black and white cat who I'm just all in on the Poncho updates. Me and Mike Sabosley send each other. When there's a Poncho update, we send it to each other.
I have to start following him on Instagram because I stopped listening to the podcast, but there was a point where me and my coworkers would text each other just quoting things that happened that week on the Stone Cold podcast. I remember the one was he was like trying to clear out the barn and there was like all these rats. And he's like, no matter what I did, he was like complaining about how no matter what he did, he couldn't get these rats to die. And he's like, I'm pretty convinced these rats are on performance enhancing drugs. did a whole bit where he was just like, you know, like I put the trap down and that rat did a backflip and flew over and grabbed the trap and smashed it into pieces on the ground.
Hey, also, look, one more thing. You won the game, Matt. Congratulations. For anybody, even if you're not a football fan, you might know this name. Damar Hamlin was born in March of 1998. All right, man. Well, that's about it. Jimmy Ray, how do we feel?
Who wants to know?
Yeah, who wants to know?
We had a lot of fun talking about Jimmy Ray, and I'm sure the guy is very sweet, but this is one of the easiest blunders I've ever had to stamp.
Like, yeah, I mean, we can't argue that Jimmy Ray should have had a lot more success or something, considering he released one album and then bounced and then came back how many years later?
Literally 24? 19 years after the first album came out.
Yeah, you can't take a 19-year break after the album. So
a single hit that didn't crack the top 10. Like, people aren't clamoring for the big return on those.
But, dude, also, having that single hit, he did sell 500,000 copies of his album. You can,
yeah, no, I'm just saying, you need more than the one song for people to be that excited for your return.
I don't know. I just think that if I sold 500,000 albums, I'd probably follow it up. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy Ray, I'm sure he's a very nice guy. It's cool he's making music again, but this one's a blunder.
Like feathers, but all my friends, they know you better.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Ophalios of the band Punchline and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Flashlight off the Punchline album 37 Everywhere. Visit punchlinemusic.com for any upcoming news on the band. Our podcast is on Patreon now. Find us at patreon.com/OHT podcast for early access to episodes, bonus episodes, and a chance to vote on future songs for us to cover. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on any podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder. Looking for a fire, but you should see a different point of view before these words have lost their use. And we are talking like it's too late, as if too late was 2 years ago. Words can't.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Minahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!